This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hey, hello, and welcome to Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and live on Sportsnet 360. I'm Jeff Blair. That gentleman to my left is Kevin Barker. Welcome you to the first of a couple of months of televised Baseball Centrals. And pretty good time to start off, I would think, after the Jays 3-2 win over the Texas Rangers yesterday. American League East is, we're no longer talking about the American League East being the worst division in baseball. Now we're talking about how it's the most balanced division in baseball. The Orioles, Tampa Bay Rays, they're tied for first. The Yankees are half a game out, and the Blue Jays are a game out. They will start a four-game series against the Boston Red Sox tonight at the Rogers Centre. That game will also include a Canada Day matinee as the Red Sox are eight back. They've got a lot of injury issues coming in to face the Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays, Kevin, the Blue Jays won a game yesterday. Four hits, three runs. It's the fewest hits they've had in a win this year. Mm-hmm. And it's like the third win they've had where they've scored less than four runs. They're, I believe, 3-22, 3-27, something like that.
Well, they've had good pitching. That's what that means, right? They had good pitching. Drew, you know, made adjustments yesterday. They got some timely hits. They had a big fifth inning there where they took some extra bases on some bad defense. It's what mm-hmm. you do. That's how you win games. And you have to manufacture runs sometimes. You're not always going to hit the three-run homer. And you know, they got a little bit of everything yesterday. They got a home run from Donaldson. They got a, which is a, you know, that's why they call him the Rainmaker, because he makes rain. And he did that yesterday.
Bringer of rain, to be exact.
Well, you know, I had lived it a little bit. But what point being is, they manufactured some runs, which, you know, we talk about this team, how they love to hit the home run. But mm-hmm. on occasion, when you're facing a pretty good pitching staff, which we were talking about off air, Texas is not bad. They got some guys that throw strikes in zone. They don't throw away from bats. And, you know, you have to go out and string together some hits. And when they give you extra bases, you have to take them. They did that yesterday. It was a lot of fun and sort of a breath of fresh air, I think, if you're a fan watching that game, to actually see them go out and win a game, not by getting 15 hits or winning 15-2. They're going to have to do this sometime during the rest of the season to sustain what they've been doing up until this point.
We'll be joined, by the way, by Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager of the Blue Jays, in a couple of minutes. And, Kevin, to your point about the way the Blue Jays won yesterday, I don't know. I mean, we argue about the definition of clutch hitting, clutch pitching, but the Blue Jays got a lot of good relief work yesterday. They got a lot of good relief work with men on base. They got a lot of good relief work with men at third base. And Roberto Osuna came in for his second four-out save this year. Mm-hmm. And he's the youngest pitcher to record two four-out saves in a season since Victor Cruz in 1978. And that was with the Blue Jays as well. I've got to ask you, and we'll ask Alex this question. Roberto Osuna is the closer right now.
Right.
It's safe to say that. Can you realistically expect to contend with a 20-year-old Roberto Osuna as your closer?
I don't think so. Let's throw stuff out the window. His stuff's off the charts. We know that. But how's it going to be towards the end of August, September, when every pitch matters? You know, you have to go out and make that perfect pitch you know, coming in the last out of the eighth inning and getting the ninth inning, big outs on the road. That's the biggest key to me is how, you know, it's one thing to do it at home, you know, crowd behind you, everybody's rooting for your team. Going on the road, there's none of that. You're getting booed. And being a young guy, I played in the big leagues when I was a little younger. It's very hard. It's different. It's different going to somebody else's house and trying to win games when it matters. And that's the issue I'm going to have. Besides Stuff, his stuff's off the charts. He, you know, he throws 97 to 99 on occasion. He's sitting at 97 with that yo-yo changeup. It's really fun to watch, but to me, I just think you need more experience. Experience is something you can't teach, and right now the Blue Jays need experience.
It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. The Jays did take 2 of 3 from the Rangers. They won, as we said, 3-2 on Sunday. Drew Hutchison gets the win. He's 8-1, went 5 2/3 innings, 4 hits, struck out 8, walked 3. I think we can say that he pitched effectively. And obviously, you'd like to see Drew going 7 innings in a game, but he showed a mix of pitches yesterday that, and I, you talked about it off the air. I think they may have gone to school after that Tampa Bay series. And I think the Jays may have realized that, especially with Hutchison, you really got to go change up fastball and maybe leave aside, for now anyhow, leave aside a third pitch.
Well, I think the slider has been an issue for him all season. Big league hitters just eliminate pitches that you can't throw for strikes, and Drew is having a tough time getting the slider over. That's why he's seeing longer counts. He's getting ahead with fastball changeup or maybe a slow breaking ball on occasion to give a team a different look. He just can't put guys away, and it's a slider. You know, they're just eliminated. When they see spin, when Drew's ahead in the count, they see spin, they don't swing at it because they know he's having trouble throwing it for a strike. So why not go to a different pitch and make the changeup look like the fastball, get guys out in front? That's the way you can elevate fastballs. We saw that yesterday. He's doing a great job elevating fastballs, and he's making adjustments. That's what it's all about.
As we said, the American League East, very tight going into this 4-game series. Baltimore, Tampa tied atop the division. The Yankees are half a game back. The Blue Jays are a game out. And Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, joins us on Baseball Central. Alex, thanks so much for doing this.
Glad to be on, guys.
Alex, you've been the GM now for 5 years. Is this finally the team you envisioned putting together?
Yeah, I think so. It's definitely started to get there. And look, you definitely I've learned some things along the way. There's no doubt about it. And I think you learn something every year. But I did feel like I had mentioned at the end of last year I was excited. I think it's the first time I've ever said it in an off season. I was excited for the off season. Just felt like we were finally starting to unearth some things and maybe some philosophies that we had and been studying. We were finally starting to cement those things and really have some belief in them. And also we knew that there was potential for a lot of turnover with some expiring contracts. I mean, we made those moves for the 2013 year. And, you know, the following year, we didn't really make any moves. We basically stayed status quo, and the only change was from Navarro to Aaron Sebia, and the salaries were going to be the same. But we were excited about the offseason because we had a chance to really tweak some things and change some things. And it's a more athletic team. Defense is a lot better. Look, we still need to make upgrades in the rotation and the bullpen. That goes without saying. But I think it's finally starting to come together in terms of, you know, what we did envision as an organization, the type of team we want to put together on the field. And even long-term, we're pretty excited about it as well.
Alex, give us an example. When you talk about the philosophy and how, you know, maybe you've settled on a philosophy in some areas or we're starting to see the philosophy manifest itself, give us an example. I mean, without state secrets, but give us an example of what that would be.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm trying to think of how I can do this without, and again, I don't want it to come across like there's an arrogance to this, like we have all the answers, and if we feel strongly about things philosophically, it's right, and what other teams are doing are wrong. I just think there's things that work for us, and I think the big thing, I'd say more as a general manager, I feel I've evolved a little bit, and as you should. I think anybody in any job should evolve, and you should make adjustments and get better. But I guess what I would say is I was much more focused on talent and talent alone. And I'm not alluding to just character and makeup and things like that. But, you know, there's times and there's opportunities you get caught up in the value of players or their contracts. And when guys are available, you know, they might be available for not much in terms of talent acquisition, not much in terms of cost and salaries and things like that. And you may cut some corners. And, you know, I'm a big Warren Buffett fan, and he's, you know, one of his things he'll say is, it's better to buy a wonderful company at a fair price than a fair company at a wonderful price. I think that's probably the big switch for me. There's a lot of the times there's guys that just, wow, this is a really good deal. This is, you know, this guy's worth a lot more, whether it's in trade or contract and so on. And you may cut some corners, and ultimately we're just maybe being a little more selective with who we do bring in. And if that means paying a premium, because someone does fit, the list or things that the criteria that we have, it's more important. And, you know, also being able to walk away for some players and really stick into philosophy about, you know, I know I've heard things like the New England Patriots in the draft have a short board, and there's just certain players that fit for them, and they're not going to deviate from that. And the ability to not deviate from that, you can get very emotional, you can be influenced, but the ability to stick to your philosophy and not bend as much as you have needs and things like that, I think I'm starting to learn it's the right way to go.
In conversation with Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. Alex, one of the talking points out of yesterday, of course, one of the good talking points, Roberto Osuna, a four-out save. That's his second of the season. John Gibbons said yesterday that he has an idea about where he wants to go with the bullpen. And Alex, I've got to ask you, how long can you realistically go with the 20-year-old as your closer? And I'll ask you this, kind of as a corollary to that. What has to happen for Aaron Sanchez to not move into the closer's role at some point this season?
Well, one, I think Gibby's done a great job with the bullpen, especially because, and this is on me, obviously, I haven't necessarily handed him clear-cut choices for the ninth, the eighth, the seventh, and so on. And you know, ultimately, I would have loved to have been able to done that, whether it was sign some free agents or do some things, but it just didn't work out that way. But you know, to his credit, he doesn't complain, at least not to the media or, you know, behind my back. He'll do it to my face. But he deals with it. You know, he deals with it and whatever. You know, at the end of the day, you hand him the players. He does the lineup. We may talk about it, but at the end of the day, he decides who plays and whatnot. You know, he's evaluated on how he'll run the game, how he manages the team, how he manages players internally, playing time. And if I have a player ever come up to me and ask me about playing time, I'll tell him you're asking the wrong guy, and you know, that isn't my area. So, but look, in terms of Osuna doing the job and his age, I really think it's irrelevant at this point. I mean, if he's able to get the job done, I mean, you look at, I'm not comparing Osuna to K-Rod when he was a kid coming up for the Angels, but he came up and he did a great job, and he was 20. And I don't think it matters how old Osuna is. He's got poise. He throws strikes. He's got great stuff. He's got an out-pitch changeup, and the slider's getting a lot better as well. And he's got guts. We call it something else, but I'm going to stick with guts on this show. So, you know, it's one of those things that, and with respect to Aaron, like if we have some of the starters that are getting an opportunity continue to do well and emerge, if a guy like Matt Boyd really takes the opportunity and run and does run with it, if a guy like Norris does get a chance to come back here soon and really does emerge as well, and it doesn't look like there's a spot for Aaron in the rotation, sure, we know we can put him in the bullpen and he can do a great job. What that role would be, obviously the manager would make that decision, but as we sit here today, Aaron will be stretched out as a starter. That'll be the plan. And look, I hope we're in a position that we don't have room for him, and because the rotation is doing so well, or we've gone out and acquired some guys and we have that much depth. We're not there yet, but that'd be a great problem to have.
Alex, what was your takeaway from Matt Boyd's debut?
You know, I'd seen him his last start in Syracuse, and his changeup was better than what I'd seen in that last start. I thought he threw some really good changeups to Adrian Beltre. His game is based a lot on deception. I mean, he's got the high front glove side like Estrada does, and kind of tilts his back and kind of hides the ball in the back with his arm action as well, kind of comes down around his hip. So even though the ball's a little straight, he does have that deception where they don't see it well, and he's also got some power. We saw him up to 95 most times in the minor leagues. He sat 90, 92 and would touch a four. So I thought the slider's getting a lot better. The curveball can use some work. It's more of a early in the count pitch for me, a get me over, and I think he tried to put Chirinos away with it, and he hit a home run, and I think that's a pitch maybe he'd go back and change it. And I give Deonor Navarro a lot of credit, too. He hadn't caught him before, had no idea what he was going to get, And, you know, the owners, to me, is a tremendous game caller. And I thought he did a great job with him. But, you know, to go that deep in the game, throw strikes, he always does. It's not command where he's hitting the glove, but he's throwing it in the box. And with the deception and the velocity, and I think he's got a chance to do really well for us.
You know, Alex, I'm glad you mentioned Deonner Navarro, because Kevin and I have been talking about this an awful lot. Anytime anybody talks about a trade, people always say, well, the Jays have Deonner Navarro they could possibly move. And, Alex, I've felt, gosh, since spring training, that he's more valuable to you than anything you're going to get in return for him. And maybe I'm overstating it, but there's really a value to having that bat and Deonner Navarro in this lineup, isn't there?
No doubt. And you know, I know this doesn't get talked about a lot, but you look at that position, it's not exactly like what you're seeing what's going on in the NFL the last few years with where the tandem tailbacks. But you are trying to keep those guys fresh. And you know, and not too many guys are Salvador Perez that catch 140 games a year. And even a guy like Russ, he'd do it if you wanted him to, but we want him at peak value and strength and his production on the field. And having a guy that, you know that position, you're not going to play every day. So even though people don't put as much stock in that position, having a guy back there that obviously can be an everyday guy if somebody was to get hurt, switch hit, contact bat, outstanding game caller. I know, Deonner's not necessarily known as a tremendous, framing ability or throwing, but you ask a lot of guys and they take the game calling over the being off the charts guy who can frame and so on. And I think Deonner's gotten a lot better as well, but he's very intelligent. He's got a great feel for calling a game. And I think, you see the way Estrada's done the last few games. You see what Burley did last year with the owner behind the plate. His game calling is outstanding. And I don't know that there's any stat out there to quantify it. But, being around him and talking to the guys as well, they love throwing to him.
This is Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker, joined by Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. Alex, how active is the trade market right now? And is it still likely going to be easier to land a starter than a reliever, or might you be able to actually land both of those commodities?
Oh, I'd love to land both. That said, I guess I just to characterize the trade market right now, I guess the best way is I think it was in a deep freeze, and I'd say it's starting to thaw a little bit, and which is exciting. I mean, definitely, I'd say in the last 5 days or so, all of a sudden, a lot more conversations with teams, a lot more teams saying, look, we're probably a week away from making some decisions on what we're going to do. It definitely has started to move here, and I think it's going to continue to accelerate, especially in the coming week. But you see a lot more teams now realizing just before the All-Star break, they're going to start really engaging, and it's starting. What we come away with or don't come away with, I have no idea. Clearly, we're looking to be active. We're looking to add and make the club a lot better. But it is definitely starting to move, and talks are starting across the league.
Alex, can we expect to see Marcus Stroman back in September? And just give us your thoughts on how his rehab's going.
One, his rehab's going very well. I think if you ask Marcus, he would say yes, and he'd probably tell you earlier than that. I've asked our training staff the same thing. And they've said, look, we wouldn't rule it out, but ultimately we would expect it to be longer than that. Not that he can't, you see guys like Giovanni Gallardo came back, I think, in 4 months. This is a long-term piece for us. It's a long-term asset. We have to make sure that we keep that in mind, and that's ultimately that's going to base any decision that we make. But he's doing well. He's getting better. And I guess I'd put it this way. We'll be open-minded if things develop and he does come sooner than expected. But if there's any scenario that we feel we're putting him at risk, no matter how much he wants to pitch or how good he feels, it's not even going to be an option for us. But he's not on, in terms of from my mind, he's not a guy that I'm counting on, expecting. It would just be a nice surprise and found money. But just based on what we had out of spring training, in my mind, he's done for the year. And if something changes, we'll deal with it. But I don't think we'll even have a sense of that till the end of July or mid-August at the earliest to see where he's at that point.
Hey, Alex, when did the American League East get tough again? And when a division is as close as this one is right now, does it almost do you almost feel as if we're now in a stage where there's going to be a competition between you, Brian Cashman, Dan Duquette, and to make their teams better?
I guess I know there was a lot of talk about the American League East being down this year, and it wasn't a very good division, and I think everyone just jumped the gun because we all got off to slow starts, and you know, collectively, and that rarely ever does occur. But we are the only division in baseball with four teams over 500 right now, and we were one of the few divisions with all five teams went into the season expecting to make the playoffs. You didn't have teams coming out saying, "Look, we're going to try to be competitive, or we're going to take some steps back, we're going to go young." All five teams said our goal is to ultimately make the playoffs and win the World Series. So, from that standpoint, I do think it's the best division in baseball right now. We don't have that one team like a St. Louis or Kansas City that's, you know, 20 or 25 games over 500 at this point. But I think part of that is because all five of us are competitive, four over 500. We do beat up on each other, and we're also playing the other teams in the AL as well. So, you know, competitiveness with other GMs, things like that, I just think everyone's going to be trying to do the same thing, make their clubs better, and it's so close. And you know, it's tough because I know we all follow the box scores, and I'm sure they're doing the same thing. Everyone seems to continue to win, so hopefully we can rattle off another 5 or 8-game win streak and try to start to make some hay and start to pull away a little bit.
Alex, do you look at the Josh Donaldson deal as maybe the best deal you've made? Because I mean, I sure do. I think what is it, 13 or 12 of his home runs have either tied the game or given you the lead. You know, we talked about this earlier in the show, and we were talking about the bullpen yesterday. I don't know how you define clutch. I really don't. I used to, but I don't anymore. But he sure strikes me as being clutch.
No, he's been outstanding. And I know a lot. I think anytime you're trading for an established player and you're trading prospects, people will always lean or gravitate towards the known. And look, Josh has been a great player the last few years. And the players that we traded away are, we think, ultimately, obviously Brett's somewhat established, but he's still young, and he's in Oakland. He's on the West Coast. You don't get to see those guys as much, but you know, obviously Brett's a very good player. He's having a good year, and it's not obviously that ballpark's not the same as ours. A guy like Graveman, since he's been back, obviously we always follow our former players. He's been outstanding, and he's again, and all these guys have 6 years of control. They don't make a whole lot of money. We think Barreto's got a chance to be a star, and he's a 19-year-old kid in high A ball. And Sean Nolan's got a chance to be a mid-rotation starter, if not a four at least. So, look, we gave up four players that we like that have a lot of control. Obviously, Josh is already in salary arbitration. His salary is going to continue to climb. And like I told him, I hope he ends up continuing to climb because that means more production on the field. So, but he's been outstanding for us. Him and Batista, they rise to the occasion late in the game. They want to be there. They want to get that opportunity. But, you know, I do think with all these trades, I think we always want to try to be fair and give that value back. I think the same thing when we did the Travis deal with Detroit. I think Ghost has done a great job for them. Travis has done a great job for us. I mean, you want them to be win-wins because teams will want to continue to trade with you.
At some point, do you have to sit down and talk to Josh about a multi-year deal?
I don't think so. I think from Josh's standpoint, I mean, look, we've already got him here for a long time. And mm-hmm. You look at guys that are free agents. Melky Cabrera was a free agent. He signed a 3-year free agent deal. And Nelson Cruz was a free agent. He signed a 4-year deal. I mean, we got Josh Donaldson with 4 years of club control. So at the end of the season, we still have him for 3 years, which free agents signed for that. So we've got him for quite a long time. Look, from his standpoint, from a financial security, he's making a little over $4 million. Clearly, he's going to get a raise off of that. So he's already going to be in a position that, you know, again, I mean, at least for what I spend, mm-hmm. He's set for life. maybe for some others, they have a little more expensive way of life. But I think the big thing is 3 years is a long time, 4 years is a long time. We obviously have a cap of 5. We will always be open to it, but there's no sense of urgency because we still have them for a very long time.
Alex, we're going to let you run. Appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Alex.
Guys, really enjoyed it.
Take care. That's Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. I thought I might make Josh a little money there.
I think Alex said he's doing all right.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. And Alex is right. They've got him for 3 more years, control of him for 3 more years, control Donaldson for 3 more years after this season. So there really is no rush. But, you know, if he has the type of year that he looks like he's going to have, you know, people are going to be wondering whether or not the Blue Jays might take a look at giving him a contract. My gut is that you probably wouldn't start doing it until the end of next season. Mm-hmm. And then maybe if you want to go 4 years, you can buy out 2 years of free agency for Josh Donaldson. But, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that's the best trade.
I think he's
Alex
the happiest.
Antopoulos is me.
He's the happiest guy being out of Oakland. Now he's getting those balls he's just missing. The ball he just hit yesterday for the home run in Oakland, that's not a home run.
That's not a home run.
So, you know, those go to adding up to getting paid more money when the time is coming to get paid. You know, it says something when you go to a ballpark and all you have to do is put a good swing on a ball. You don't have to try harder to hit it. You don't have to do anything extra. Just go out, see ball, and try to put a good level swing on a baseball, and the results are going to be there. And Josh is doing a heck of a job so far.
Perhaps the best thing about Josh Donaldson, I mean, you know, I could list 100 best things about Josh Donaldson, but what I really like is when he came over here, and we spent a lot of time talking about the new artificial surface that the Blue Jays put in. I had a lot of people say, you know, the real concern is a guy like Josh Donaldson coming from a grass field, he's going to play here. Is he going to be happy in artificial turf? Even though the new surface is softer, is he going to be happy with it? Will he be happy with the ball off the turf, et cetera, et cetera? I got to tell you, you talk to Josh Donaldson about this artificial surface, he'll tell you he absolutely loves it. He hasn't had a problem with it. I talked to him, now granted, this was a couple of weeks ago, and he said, I'm not doing anything that I didn't think I do. You know, you wear your spikes a little less, you wear your running shoes at different times when you're, but he said, other than that, man, he said, I haven't had a problem with this. And that's so huge when you get a guy like that into your clubhouse. And this is the same thing with Russ Martin, and they don't complain because stuff is different here because it's Canada. You know, you got to go through customs. You got artificial turf, yada, yada, yada. And they don't complain. That makes a big difference.
What's impressive to me is a superstar that everybody wants to be around. Every time me and you go to the field, we're there early. He's out hitting early. Yeah. You see Ryan Goins. You see Kevin Pillar. You see Carrera all around him laughing, having a good time, talking about baseball, making fun of each other, how far they're hitting balls, how bad they hit balls. It's a team thing. And it says something to a team. Every team has to have a leader. Guess what? The Blue Jays have their leader.
Yeah. There's an interesting dynamic at work there. And as I said, we appreciate Alex Anthopoulos joining us. I had an interesting comments, I think, from Alex about philosophy and he certainly doesn't appear as if he didn't come out and say Roberto Osuna is going to be the closer going into September, but he certainly isn't looking at age as being the defining trait for a closer.
Well, you can't argue the stuff. I mean, he's looking at what stuff he has in the bullpen, and who's the first guy that pops out to you other than Sanchez? Again, that's been mine and your choice from day one. Obviously, he went as a starter and has sort of taken that role and run with it, but now being on the DL coming off, that may be an option, but right now you look in the pen, who do you got?
Yeah, well, my other takeaway is Matt Boyd. If Matt Boyd pitches well, Matt Boyd's going nowhere. Matt Boyd pitches well, Matt Boyd's staying in the major league.
A lot has to do with Drew Hutchison, too. Drew Hutchison, if he starts pitching well, makes a lot of things easier because now all of a sudden you have an ace.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Makes it easier for Alex to make decisions that normally or that he wants to go out and make a move. Now he doesn't have to because now that guy is there already. Maybe Drew can step up and take that.
Yeah, I still think if you're Alex, you want to add another power arm. But again, the Blue Jays are kind of approaching this from a position of strength right now. And that makes a big difference when you go out to the trade market and, you know, you've got guys who are doing a passable job. And no one's going to say, I don't think anybody can say this bullpen's going to win in the playoffs. But this bullpen, as kind of messed up as it's been, has actually had a pretty good month of June statistically. So it's not as if it's panic stations. It's not as if it's panic stations. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360. When we come back, Kevin Barker and myself will take a look around Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central. This is Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central. Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker for your listening and now viewing pleasure every day from noon till 1 Eastern time. except I think for July 1st because it's the hockey free agency day. Mm. So, but we'll be at the ballpark July 1st.
Yep.
It's the third of four games between the Jays and the Red Sox, a Canada Day spectacular, a matinee. And the Jays, well, the Jays can put a whole lot of hurt in the Red Sox and pretty much, I think, bury the Red Sox in this series. I'm sure that's the last thing anybody with the Blue Jays wants to hear anybody say. Going to take a look around Major League Baseball. A lot happened this weekend, obviously. But first, I want to talk a little bit about Devin Travis. Made his return to the Blue Jays lineup after missing 36 games. You remember, of course, he took that ball off his left collarbone. As he said, it's a ball I block up 100 times in my life. And hurts his collarbone, affects his swing, shoulders inflamed. He hit a double yesterday against Chichi. I'm going to call him Chichi Rodriguez, even though it's Chichi Gonzalez. He hit a double off Chichi Gonzalez yesterday. And, Kevin, we forget just how good this guy was in April. Mm-hmm. And we saw a couple of signs. Saturday, Matt Boyd throws to second base. There's a mix-up in communication. Devin Travis is in center field, makes the play, prevents mm-hmm. anything else from happening. Then yesterday, gets a RBI double, clutch RBI double. There's a play here if you're watching it on TV on Saturday. And he could have had another play yesterday. There was a line drive in the first inning to Ezekiel Carrera. And Carrera throws to second base now. Rougned Odor had gone around first and was on his way to second base. Mm-hmm. And Devin Travis gets the ball, and he's got a shot at him at first base. But he goes to put the tag down, and you find out later, Jose Reyes has got on that play. He's got to yell first mm-hmm. to Devin Travis. If Devin Travis doesn't put the tag down, he might have a shot at him
at
first base.
That's right. Well, Reyes is the quarterback of the team. That's his job, is to tell everybody what's happening and, you know, where the play is going, is supposed to go. That's something you have to do when you're facing a good pitcher. Mm. Those things matter. Just the little things to beat a team that's you're having trouble scoring runs against matters. And that's something that the Blue Jays communication-wise are going to have to clean up.
Yeah, and they had another later on in the game as well. Foul ball or a fly ball to left field. Josh Donaldson catches the ball, and he kind of pulls it down and then throws. There's mm-hmm. got to be more communication. That one was on Ezekiel Carrera. But just to say that, welcome back, Devin Travis, and that swing and that double. And even he said afterwards, when I was hurt and trying to play through the injury, there's no way that swing happened. Well, there's no way I don't pull. I get that.
Yeah, it's his lead arm. He lets go of the bat. It's his lead arm, and you have to have extension. And a guy that doesn't have extension is going to cut balls off. That means you don't hit the ball as hard. You can't do things that you want to do with the bat head, and that hurts. You know, he's a guy that likes to go to right center to right field. When you're not able to use both of your arms or both of your shoulders, it's very hard to do that. It's like using your hands. When you're hitting, your hands are the most important thing you have besides your feet. And it's good to see Devin Travis bat because it adds longevity to this lineup. All of a sudden, 1 through 9 is really, mm-hmm. really good again.
Yeah, and of course, the addition of Devin Travis means that Ryan Goins reverts to a super utility role, and that really makes the Jays a better defensive team. And Travis will be in the lineup tonight. The Jays and the Boston Red Sox start the first of a four-game series. First pitch at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And Sportsnet, it'll be R.A. Dickey on the mound against Clay Buchholz. Want to take a look around Major League Baseball. Kind of a bizarre weekend in baseball. Friday starts out with Giancarlo Stanton breaking the hamate bone in his hand or in his wrist, his hand. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. And, Kevin, Eric Hinsky broke his hamate bone.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll tell you, he was never the same hitter after that. It is, for a hitter, it is one of the worst injuries you can imagine because it can have prolonged implications for your swing. I've heard guys who've broken that bone say that it is so uncomfortable to try to rehab because it's just, I mean, the bat is nestled against that bone. Now, you made an interesting point. When you were with the Milwaukee Brewers,
mm-hmm.
the Brewers would actually fine their players.
Yeah.
Explain that to us.
Well, whenever I was in the minor leagues, early on, my first year in the minor leagues, I believe that's when they were teaching us how to put our uniforms on. That's mm-hmm. how, you know, it was that much advanced when I got to the minor leagues. But that was one of their things was don't put the knob of the bat your hand over the knob of the bat, because that's things that'll happen. And it's like you just said, it's very hard to rehab, and it's we're creatures of habit. Baseball players are such creatures of habit that it's just common nature. If that's what you've always been accustomed to doing, you're going to do it. It's not because you're not trying not to do it, but your bat, when you pick the bat up, is just going to go in that certain spot. So that's one of the things Stanton's going to have to really work on and actually think about, is not doing that. Because when he comes back, he can't do that anymore. It's going to be real tough for him to put the knob of the bat that way. All it does is a feel thing. It's not doing any other thing. It's basically what it does. It makes you feel like you can buggy whip the top of the bat head. It just, you can feel the bat head in your hand a little bit better than you can if you don't have it like that held in your hand. So it's going to be interesting to watch him, the adjustments he has to make, because it is an adjustment. I will say that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, between that getting hit in the face and breaking a hammy, I mean, I was talking to a guy in the Jays clubhouse yesterday, and he said, Jeff, you can't imagine two worse injuries for a hitter to have, a facial injury and a hammy injury. This guy said, that's double jeopardy. Those are the two worst things that can possibly happen to a hitter, to get hit in the face and then to have the hammy.
It's real close to your eyes, which you have to use to see the baseball, and your hands. Your hands are the most important thing when you're hitting, and if you don't have either one of those, you're not going to be very good at it, Jeff.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a challenge. And the good thing is, it's not like the Miami Marlins are paying Giancarlo Stanton for the next 8 years or anything like that. Elsewhere around baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies, you know that they're a tire fire. They're a steaming pile of you-know-what right now. A couple of things that happened. Ryan Sandberg, their manager, quit. We're led to believe Andy McPhail will be named president of the team. I would guarantee you that means that Ruben Amaro's got one foot out the door. He probably should have had both feet out of the door after the way he's mismanaged his team in the past couple of years. And kind of an interesting story, Cole Hamels, speaking to CSN Philadelphia's Jim Salisbury, telling Jim Salisbury that he's open-minded on everybody and everything, and he's talking about trade possibilities. That includes Toronto. A lot of people have said that there's no way Cole Hamels comes to Toronto. He's on the no-trade list, yada, yada. He says, I haven't said anything to anybody about Toronto. A word of warning, though, before you go envisioning Cole Hamels in a Blue Jays lineup, that's a huge contract. I don't see it happening, but it's interesting that at least he's not closing the door.
He sees what everybody else sees. They have the best offense in baseball.
Yeah, he's no dummy.
Well,
he's no dummy.
Come on, you go.
I'll tell you what. If I'm Cole Hamels, I'm staying in the National League, son. I'm not having any part of the American League.
Two extra hitters would be hard on you. But
Saturday, the New York Yankees got off to an early lead against the Houston Astros. Got off to an early lead against the Houston Astros. They're leading 6-0, and Brett Oberholzer, who, well, wasn't very happy with his performance, throws inside to Alex Rodriguez. Now, he gets tossed. He gets tossed and has one of the mother of all meltdowns in the dugout. And if that isn't bad enough, he was sent to AAA immediately after the game. Kevin, that was, you know, look, I understand a guy's a competitor. The Yankees scored a lot of runs off him, but man, especially in that team, you can't see that from one of your starters.
It gets back to your clubhouse. They're doing things for their clubhouse in Houston, and it's a different atmosphere there because they're winning. They're playing the game the right way. It's not the old Houston Astros where you go in there and beat them up, and that's three or four easy wins.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to go in there and play a really good team. It's a certain atmosphere, and I think you have to protect the clubhouse. That's what they're doing. There's no cause for that in anything, because now all of a sudden it's hurting bullpens and it's hurting your teammates. Now what do you do about your teammates? It's because what's going to happen is, not that game, but down the road, the Yankees remember things like that. You give a little to get a lot more, and I'm sure the Yankees are going to remember things like that.
Well, and it kind of worked out, I guess, for the Astros in a way, because they had to send, that meant they had to go to their bullpen early. They had to send somebody down to get some bullpen help. So their manager's going, I know what I'll do here. I'll send a message, and I got to do it anyhow. I got to bring some pitchers up. So Brett Oberholzer down at AAA Fresno after doing that. Got to talk a bit about Steven Matz as well. And the Mets seem to have this production line of young pitchers. Another young pitcher, impressive young pitcher for the Mets. He gets called up yesterday. Now, he grew up about 40 minutes from Citi Field. Gives up 5 hits, 2 runs, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts, pitches 7 2/3 innings. He also hits a two-run double and a two-run single in the sixth. Drives in four runs. Kevin Barker, that's a pretty good start.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't think I ever got three hits and four RBIs in a game in the big leagues. That's pretty cool right there.
And he's a pitcher.
Yeah, thanks for that. I can watch the TV like you are. But, yeah it's I think the double should have been a triple. But, you know, I'm being picky here. It is. The Mets are a lot of fun to watch because they do have some good hitting pitchers. And, you know, the National League, you have to carry your own. If you can get some hits as a pitcher, you're only going to help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying he's going to go out and get three hits and four RBIs, but – you know, all of a sudden now what it does, though, once you have a game like that in the big leagues, the book's out that now you may start to get a little bit more breaking balls and some cutters in and some sinkers down and away, and it may be pitched to a little bit differently now.
We've got a little thing we like to do every now and then in this show.
My favorite.
Well, it's your
batter
favorite.
Up. It's time for Parker Goes Yard.
Why do I even say what it's called? Because we got a little thing.
It's your favorite music.
Oh, it's my favorite music. Nothing gets me excited like country music. Andrew McCutchen's not a very happy guy these days, is he, Kevin Barker?
I wouldn't be either. We just talked about pitchers, and he got hit for the eighth time on Saturday, which is the 27th time in three seasons. But what was funny about
what
it is a whole lot. Well, they have to pitch him in because he's a power hitter, you know, right. Power hitter thing, kind of thing. But the thing that I thought was really funny, and he quoted by saying, maybe I need to drop kick a pitcher. Maybe that will scare them into not throwing at me. Drop kick a pitcher, Jeff?
That'd be outstanding. I'd pay to see that.
Me too.
Here's a high drive. This one's way back. It's going. Flag court. Look out.
Whoa, I like that one.
Wow.
I like that one. Hey, Prince Fielder did something on the weekend that was pretty impressive.
He did well Friday night. You know, the Blue Jays won 12-2, but Prince Fielder became the second duo, father-son duo, to have 300 or more home runs. Do you know the other one?
Oh, that would be the Bonds.
Yeah, he hit, obviously hit his 300th on Prince Fielder hit his 300th on Friday night, which is a pretty cool deal, Jeffrey.
Yes, it is.
Swing and a well-hit ball deep to right field. Uh-oh. Calhoun looking up. Goodbye, baseball.
There you go.
Wow.
Wasn't bad. So Louisville Slugger's been a name that we've all associated with baseball. Hell, we probably all swung Louisville Sluggers when we were kids.
They used to
pretty big day in the history of Louisville Slugger, isn't it?
Well, funny story. When I was in Louisville, I used to get free old Louisville Slugger bats because obviously it's the minor leagues and I couldn't afford them. They would give us like the bad bats.
They'd give you the rejects with the name spelt wrong and everything. Like
exactly.
Kevin Breaker or Kevin.
Well, a big leaguer's name but spelled backwards that they messed up. Anyway, Danny Luckett retires from Louisville Slugger. This is the cool part. He was the only guy left at Louisville Slugger that could make a bat by hand that was big league specs. Without a computer. He could make that thing by hand. Jeffrey, he's made 2.5 million bats. That's roughly 2,500 tons of finished product.
Did you do the math all by yourself in that?
Fly ball deep left field. He might have done it. Ball is up at the fence to left fielder. There she goes.
Yes. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Barker Goes Yard, which started out as Barker's three strikes, Barker's bases on balls, Barker takes a walk, all that stuff. But we had trouble coming up with a name with it.
No, you made fun of me because my buddy texted me and said, hey, what's going on? The name's
I like
right.
Three strikes, but anyhow, that's just me. That's it for us today. Don't forget the first of four against the Boston Red Sox tonight at the Rogers Center. Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, Mike Wilner will have the call of the game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Buck, Pat, and Barry Davis will do the honors on Sportsnet as Red Sox are a hurting crew coming in here. They're 8 back. They're the one team in the American League East that has kind of fallen out of contention. Clay Buchholz on the mound against Ari Dickey. So it ain't going to be easy.
Keep it in the yard.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's always fun when the Red Sox come in town. Love to see John Farrell. John Farrell makes my heart sing.
We can get him on the show.
Yeah, right. John Farrell isn't coming anywhere within 3,000 nautical miles of this show. For Alex Anthopoulos and Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining us on Baseball Central. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay tuned for Brady and Walker.